doing it a little bit. But in my neighbours.
Yes, it's something new, some new little noise.
It just happens that you get a reel that isn't dead accurate. And,
oh, I see, yes.
And that causes a little scrapping, scraping sound. So you're making that noise.
Glass spare.
You sure?
Yes, certain.
Oh, right, then I'll leave it then.
Yes, I always do.
That's right.
See, 600 feet. Yes, they'd be very thrilled in the States, I'm sure, but really, it's awfully necessary here now,
yes,
isn't it?
They guarantee me, of course, plenty of work there, but it's getting the money together for the fare, which is about £300.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then I've got the space to keep going while I'm away, unless I let it, and I'm not very happy about strangers living in my flat.
No. No, you have to be careful because then it can also upset the vibrations,
yes,
can't
of
they?
And how are you?
Very well, thank you, Mickey.
Douglas is here.
Oh, good, I'm so glad.
And his father. His father invariably is with him.
Yes. How very nice.
And your mother.
And mother, oh, good.
And someone who insists upon being mentioned, I think I mentioned it to you before, called Edith.
Yes, you know, I can't fix Edith at all.
It's extraordinary, this lady. She's always turning up and she says, I'm Edith, remember me to her, give her my love. So I thought I'd do it automatically, you know.
I see. Well, thank you, Mickey. I must think of her.
Laughing, she says, I'm to tell you, if I talk to you about cooking, that should help you.
Oh, cooking.
Oh, delicious. Perhaps she was a cook. Well, presumably she must have been.
I really
do. Did your mother have a maid, a cook?
Well, we had one or two from time to time. No, but I'm sorry, I can't fit Edith. Isn't a name I know on the other side? I have an Edith here.
Do you know the name of Frampton?
Frampton?
Not Frankton, Frampton.
Oh, well, I'll make inquiries, Mickey.
Don't bother, dear, don't bother.
Oh, hello, darling.
But I wouldn't possibly know some of the souls that come because they're way back in the remote past. Associated with you and associated with me, some of the souls that come, we only met almost casually, you might say, for a few odd moments. But it's an extraordinary thing how people on this side, who in a sense have no claim or connection, you might say, with particular people who may be interested in this subject, but take the opportunity of getting through, if they can, in the hope that some message or messages may be passed on to some friends or relations of theirs. You see, there are so few people, really, who are sufficiently interested to take this subject up seriously and investigate it, that all sorts of people are attracted with the idea and hope of getting a message over to some soul or other on earth, because that person or persons just are not interested or don't take make any attempt to communicate, you see.
Yes, I see that point.
Anyway, there are always crowds of people. In fact, sometimes if you could but see all around and about on an occasion like this, there are literally hundreds of people.
Oh, really?
Some of them, majority of them indeed, who are in no way connected, but are interested and anxious with the possibility of perhaps they will have an opportunity sometime at some future date of getting through messages to their loved ones. They're interested because they want so much to tell their own people the good news that they're well and they're happy and there's no need to fret and upset oneself about them. I don't think people realize on your side how cruel, in a sense, it is that they shut the door. As soon as the funeral's over, although they often think about their loved ones, as far as they're concerned, that's the end. Because they've physically left them, then, of course, to them, the majority of them, there's nothing at all, with the possibility perhaps of one day meeting them when they themselves pass over, if there is an afterlife, as they say.
Yes.
The point is that, in a sense, that is why possibly I have changed my outlook so tremendously about the church, is because, to my way of thinking, the church's greatest sin is the fact that it has shut the door, not only to the church people themselves, but you might say almost to the world, on life after death. They talk glibly about the afterlife and one day being linked up with one's loved ones, and it's wrong to communicate. In fact, they put up all the barriers, and yet the very basis of the religious truth is the fact of a life after death. But when it comes to doing anything concrete and solid and real about it, they do absolutely nothing. In fact, they do all they can to put people off investigating and trying to find out. It so infuriates me, and I don't often get infuriated, but I must admit that I have changed completely my whole attitude and outlook towards the church and its teachings.
Yes, I can quite understand that. I think many people have
alone. If you hadn't been an intelligent person, a person with a mind of your own, you would have never made the attempt to communicate with me.
Oh, but I found Arthur Finlay's book, you see, many years
before. Thank God for that.
And that was the beginning of my quest.
I thank God for that, but if you had been the ordinary Orthodox Christian, drawn to the church by years of upbringing, we would never have had this opportunity.
No, that's quite true.
That's why I blame the church. It's withheld truth. It's stood a barrier to truth.
Yes.
In spite of the wonderful teachings of the Christ and other great souls, it shuts the door. Tells people it's wrong to investigate. And all sorts of excuses are made, merely, fundamentally, to hold their own power.
Yes.
I can't help but think back now more clearly than ever I did when on earth, on so many incidents and so many experiences I had with the church and members of the church. And I realize now more and more and more how they stood in the way of progress.
Yes. Of course, there is the Church's Fellowship of Psychic Research now,
well,
dear.
That's a step in the right direction.
Oh, yes, there's many, and many clergy in London have awakened and to this fact. And
when I think back of my younger years, when I think back to the days when I lived in this district, not far from here,
yes.
When I realise how so many people were held down in the Victorian reign and the Edmundian era, held down really fundamentally by the church. People don't realize it. It's not so long ago when little boys were climbing chimneys and going down into the coal mines. Actually, one could go on and on.
Yes.
The church has been suppressing for centuries. Now people are breaking the chains and they're getting some fresh air into their lungs.
Yes. That's a lovely way of putting it, darling.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
They've been breathing the same stale air for centuries.
Yeah.
Now they're beginning to get some fresh air, thank God, into their lungs and begin to breathe freely. And consequently, living more sane and healthy existences.
Yes. Yes. Well, darling, after your gentle rebuke last week, I'm not going to ask you any questions. I'm going to leave it entirely to you.
I didn't think for one moment that I'd rebuked you.
Oh, no, very gently.
The only thing is,
I disturb you.
Well, no, I think it is the whole point, is that I get into a train of thought, and if you suddenly come up with some question, it sort of breaks it.
I can quite understand.
And it's difficult enough, believe me, trying to get over so much that I want to get over, and the clarity that I want to convey everything, that it only needs some little jarring something, not necessarily you asking me a question, but any jarring note which may come even from our side, because I've told you there are thousands of people that are attracted on an occasion like this, and sometimes entities who are nearer the earth and therefore possibly more able to make a contact or to in some way impinge themselves can break the link.
Yes, you once said a little dog had rather worried you. It's a long time ago.
Long time ago, I do remember that very well. Animals, of course, people don't realize this, but animals are very, very psychic. Much more psychic indeed than human beings, because not having the power to speak, they have this sense and power of knowing instinctively and intuitively, as it were, what is being said or what is going on. And they do see at a much higher rate of vibration. They visualize and see things which normal human beings don't see. You know?
Yes, I realize that. Yes.
Horses, very psychic things.
Are they?
You know, when I look back, I can't help but keep looking back. I suppose in a sense one shouldn't, but we do learn from the past. But I realize many incidents, many things that happened in my own life. Perhaps at the time, in fact I'm sure at the time, I didn't fully realize them, didn't even associate them with psychics at all. But I realize now that I was in my own self without realizing it, psychic, you know.
Yes, I can imagine that, and then your Highland ancestry might foster that.
I remember once, many years ago, a night in a country lane, in a horse-drawn carriage, suddenly coming to a halt. Horse wouldn't budge, just wouldn't move an inch, and it reared up and made an awful noise and had an awful job eventually to get the thing going again. Found out some weeks later that on that very spot, some few years previously, someone had been murdered. I always feel sure the horse sensed and saw the apparition.
Yes, was that in Scotland?
Yes, when I was quite tall, quite young.
Yes. How interesting.
Remember those days, you know, we used to go about pony and trap, horse and trap, you know.
Yes.
Father and family. I often go back on those days. My father tells me many interesting things which, in his day, were quite common knowledge. You know, there's no doubt about it. The nearer you live to nature, the more you live in country surroundings, the less you are associated with sophisticated life, the more sensitive one is to these things.
Oh, yes, no doubt.
I think the mediums would do much better if it were practical, that is, to live in the country surrounded by trees and birds, and the whole atmosphere of the country is much more conducive to this sort of thing than town life.
Yes.
Actually, it's amazing to me that mediums get the results they do under the conditions in which they have to sit, you know.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when you're very peaceful and very quiet, I'm very close to you. And indeed, if you were to take pen to paper, I'm sure I could write through your hand.
Yes, well, I have tried that many times, but I think it's better to get this through the voice.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree that it is better, because it's much more convincing to you, possibly, and certainly it's more to the point, it's more personal, it's more definite. But I suppose it is, and sometimes I think it's nice of me to write a letter to you.
Oh, well, that would be very nice, dear. I remember that.
The point is, you might doubt it and say, oh, it's your own imagination or something. People do.
Would it be in your writing?
By the way, I like that photograph you had copied.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? It's one of me I'm talking about.
Yes.
It came out very well.
Yes.
Why do you say yes?
Well, I'm wondering which one. One was an enlargement from a small snap.
Well,
do you mean
one.
The one
yes,
leaning
the,
against the church?
No, the little one that you had taken from the snapshot, because at the time you thought, well, I'd like that larger, but you wondered if it would enlarge up, but it came up quite well there, didn't it?
Oh, it did, yes. I know the one you're referring to. It did, yes. Is that the one you prefer in the case of, I shall want a photograph or a portrait of you for the book, you see?
Not necessarily one I prefer, because it may not, well, I don't know if it enlarged up pretty well, I suppose it would look all right in the book. No, I leave that entirely to you, and since it's immaterial, it's not so important as to which photograph.
No, I think I'll have a psychic portrait, if possible, later on.
A psychic portrait?
Yes.
Well, that would be nice.
Through one of the artists, either Frank Lear or... that other man was very good, wasn't he? He drew several sketches on you, but they weren't quite perfect. I've forgotten his name. MacDonald, I think. No. I've forgotten. We'll try Frank Lear, shall we?
If you're in time.
Oh, why, darling?
I'll speak to him here any day.
No.
I think he'll come very suddenly, very soon. As a matter of fact, strange you should mention that man, because I was talking to someone the other day who... I referred to it as the other day. I was talking to someone who knows him very well. And they were saying they didn't think that he could stay on your side much longer. In fact, they quite expected him any time. Probably come through a stroke or seizure or something.
Oh, dear.
So I don't somehow think you'll have the opportunity to get him going through him.
Dear, he's been a wonderful man. He is, isn't
he,
Mr. Blink?
He drinks like a fish.
Oh, dear.
And he drinks beer, of course.
Yes. It's a lovely chat we're having, Mr. Flynn.
Well, I like sometimes. I think it's very nice for me to come and talk to you about matters which you might say are interesting to everyone, but
yes.
I think it's nice sometimes to be able to talk just naturally like this about all sorts of things, all sorts of people. Besides, I think it's only natural and right it should be so. And after all, it might be of interest to other people, and it's much for them to realise how natural it all is anyway.
Yes, you're not entirely immersed in the beauties of your own country.
No, I'm very happy and very thrilled and everything to be here, but goodness me, I like sometimes entering into your little world and taking interest in things that are happening around and about you. I'm very interested in everything that happens about you, you know that?
Yes.
But sometimes I wish you had a better place in which to live.
Oh, yes. Well, you're going to find me somewhere.
Well, I'm hoping to a little later on, because I do think it's a bit much, all those stairs. Are you really happy, though? Do you have to live in such a small way, dear?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of it in that way, really.
I mean, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do, but it does seem to me that, well, I don't know. I won't use the word impoverished, but it does seem very confined.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm hoping you're going to get me nearer to London.
I say you're not worried about money. Why do you live like that?
I don't know.
Are you worried about...
Well, I'm living with friends that you knew, you see, and...
Yes, I appreciate that, but...
I can't get your old Scottish-American interested, Mr. Wallace, dear.
You can't?
No. He's not antagonistic, but I want him to come and hear your tapes, but he won't come, I think.
Why,
he doesn't really want...
do you think? Do you think he's prejudiced?
Yeah, I think he thinks it's too good to be true, really.
Just disinterested.
Yes.
You see, now you've avoided answering me about the flat, haven't you?
Yes, why?
I don't know.
Well, I'm prepared to move,
The point is, are you happy?
Oh, yes, but I am looking forward to going into the country nearer to London.
Where will you go, Sussex?
You see, a medium told me that you said you were going to find me somewhere in Sussex.
Well, I'm hoping to, and I'm hoping it will be Sussex. But at the moment, I have nothing definite in mind.
Oh, I see.
And
well,
I... quite frankly, I don't really know whether you just want a flat or a house or a bungalow. What would you really like?
Oh, I think just a flat.
You don't want too much to do, do you, girl?
Well, I've got plenty to do with this work, darling. There's an awful lot to do.
Yeah, I was thinking from a domestic point of view.
But why should I waste my time cooking and all the rest of it when things are better eaten raw?
I'm teasing you. As long as you're happy.
Yes, that's all right.
What about the typewriter?
Well, I'm not going to learn typing.
Well, who's going to type all this out?
Oh, I'll find someone, darling.
Well, that'll be quite a job, won't it?
No.
You've got a lot of the stuff down now, haven't you?
Oh, I've got every word you've ever said since you passed. A fortnight after your passing. Now I've just got to sort it out, you see.
Well, I think you should be getting this book published very soon.
Yes. But you still want to talk, don't you, dear?
Oh, yes, there's lots of things to talk about. It's true. Mm-hmm. Actually, of course, one could go on and do many books.
Yes.
Where are you going out to lunch today?
Well, I'm going to Belgrave Square. There's a little group sitting I hope to get into.
Yes.
And then at 5 o'clock, Moontrail is going to talk You know, a trance sitting, which I always enjoy. He's such a stimulating person.
Yes.
Do you know him?
Very well.
Moon Trail. 5 o'clock. I hope you'll be there.
I will. They're not giving messages, are they?
Oh, no, it's just a wonderful hour's talk. And he's a brilliant talker, and he has us all in fits of laughter. Douglas seems to have withdrawn, Mr. Flint.
Does rather. Very interesting this morning. It's very,
very
natural.
Yes, very. I'm sorry to hear about Mr. Lear, though.
Mm.
But often when they say that, it's a long time after. You know, I think I'll try and get one. I did try at Christmas, as a matter of fact.
How did you get on?
Well, he was rather exasperated with me. Of course, I'm not good at long distance phones.
No,
and he jammed the receiver. Although I think Douglas was there, and he'd started the sketch, I heard, from another medium.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness me, what a wonderful man. The draftsmanship is wonderful. Douglas must have been called away to help someone, I think. Do you know him personally, Mr. Flint?
I met him once, many years ago.
Isn't that mysterious, Mr. Flint? That's never happened to me.
He was very good, though, wasn't he?
Very good.
And natural.
Yes. Quite a new line for Douglas. He's not. But as he said that my questions were just sometimes upset him, I wouldn't, and I do spend some time thinking questions out, which is rather unfortunate. Well, one medium said I must give him a lead, you see. So I've been doing the wrong thing.
Oh, not necessarily.
Do most people ask questions?
Well, some are so dumb they never ask anything, you know what I mean? They're nuisance in a way, they don't help the sitting. Others ask too much,
yes.
Or expect too much, you know,
yes.
And ask such silly questions anyway.
Hmm.
I always try to explain to people that, from the point of view of evidence, that comes naturally of its own accord. It's no good keep pressing for it. And that's, I think, I think what happens sometimes with some sitters,
in
their anxiety to get something, they force things and then they put their foot in it.
Yes. Oh, it's a very, very delicate thing, isn't it, this communication? Oh, dear, little Mickey hasn't come to say goodbye, even.
Seems if the power's cut us off. Sorry about this.
Oh, is that so, darling? Yes. Which power? The psychic power?
Yes. Never mind. It's been nice talking to you. And next time I must try and talk to you about things that would be interesting for the book.
Yes,
all
dear.
My love and goodness.
Well, I hope to be here a week on Monday.
Good. More often the better for me.
Yes.
Bye-bye, love.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mother.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey. Thank you so much.
Only a little sitting today.
Yes. Don't mind this for me to write out.
Still, one must expect that.
Oh, yes, but that's
be
very
variable.
Nice. Yes, of course. It's an 40-minute one. You know,
yes.
I think the last one was a very,
was
very
it?
Long one.
So it makes an interesting change in a way.
Yes. Well, yes, well, it shows that, I mean,